Hi, everyone. Welcome to Nancy's Metaphysical World and More. My name is Nancy. I host the show. Tonight, I have a very interesting guest, to say the least. And when we start talking, you'll understand that I'm going to bring him on right away because there's a lot of questions I have for him. So we're going to call him Sir Mark the Poet. So,
hey,
Sir
Nancy.
Mark, how are you?
How's it going?
All right. Now, Sir Mark, could you tell the listeners a little bit about who you are first, and then I really have some kind of interesting questions to ask you.
Oh, I'm excited. Thanks for having me on the show. My name is Mark, Sir Mark, the poet. I not only do metaphysical poems and such like that and go on nightly adventure, I'm a knight of the temple, or Knights Templar, as we're known. Yeah, and I've I don't know.
And actually, you grew up in Europe, right?
I did, yes. So,
okay.
Italy and
so,
Germany.
Europe and Germany?
Yes.
Okay.
And Italy before that.
And Italy before that. So kind of all over the place, huh?
Yeah, I was born in Sacramento.
quite a travel there. Sir Mark, could you tell us how you got the name Sir Mark or why you used the name Sir Mark?
Well, officially with the Knights Templar, it's Sir Knight, and then whatever the officers or Knight's name is. But as I'm trying to promote chivalry and, all those kind of knightly virtues that are good and wholesome of respect of, someone looking out for others and trying to do the best,
Sometimes it's pretty hard, isn't it?
Well, it's pretty easy to be good to folks. It gets easier when you do it a lot.
Yeah, no, it's easy to be good, but sometimes the results are not what you might expect it. Because a lot of people, I don't think, Sir Mark, know how to take help, or I don't know if they know how to accept it.
Yeah, well, with change comes responsibility. And I think if we could all work together more so, I think economically we're feeling that. People are learning that they could work together in their communities. Not only, sharing business and all that kind of stuff, but, knowing your neighbors and maybe sharing meals and stuff like that. Community centers. People doing things together as communities. That's really optimistic. I see that happening.
Well, and really it's going to with a lot of the changes that are coming, and it's something that's kind of like long overdue. Now, you mentioned that you were a Knight Templar. Can you tell the listeners a little bit about what a Knight Templar is and what they do?
Well, it's a chivalric order was founded in 1107 A.D. in order to protect the pilgrims that were making trips to the Holy Land of Jerusalem. And unfortunately, because there was no real unified security force, people who were going out there on vacations or on their big, to see where Jesus, lived, or King Solomon's temple, or whatever the case may be, that there was roaming bands of bad guys or whatever out there trying to rob them and all that kind of stuff. And that's a real test of whose side someone's on is how they treat civilians, women and children. But be that as it may or whatever, Nine Knights banded together and asked the permission from different sovereigns if they could be founded under a knightly order to go and protect, women and children in Jerusalem. And so the Knights Templar were founded. And they had a very illustrious career in their militaristic, I guess back in the day, role. I know in some movies they were portrayed as being a certain way or whatever, but I like the fraternity in the sense that there's guys from every kind of denomination or whatever of Christianity. The mystery center around, Jesus or whatever, and just like Buddha or any other wise master or whatever, loving each other, as far as being human beings and stuff like that, not being warlike, but there's no unified religion of the Knights Templar. which I think is good in the sense that, you know, someone could be a brother who's a Catholic or a Protestant or, you know, whatever, you know, Lutheran or a Rosicrucian or a Gnostic or a Essene or Baptist of some sort. I don't, you know, whatever the case may be.
Mm-hmm. Now, you also talk on your Face page. Would you like, first of all, let's give out how people can get a hold of your information. So
oh,
you
absolutely.
Can give out website, Face page, whatever.
Yeah, SirMarkThePoet.com, MySpace, you can look up Sir Mark Knight of Love or Google Sir Mark Knight of Love. The past Sir Mark, who was knighted by the Queen of England, and he had done some work on, I think, jet propulsion systems. But be that as it may, yeah, I've had people, you know, I go by the poet or whatever. I guess I was given that on the Adam Carolla show, calling in. It was, I guess Carolla at the time didn't want to necessarily say sir, like I was some hoity-toity. In fact, we joked about it on the several times that I'd been on this program, that, you know, I wasn't hoity-toity in any kind of way. I just really love poetry. But it kind of stuck, and I feel, you know.
That's kind of neat. Now, you've written 12 books of poetry.
Yes. Well, 12 that have been published. I'm sitting on 3 other ones right now.
And what kind of poetry is it? Can you give us, like, a little sample, maybe?
Oh, absolutely. Let's see. I'll definitely give you an example. It's interesting because my style's kind of changed over the years or whatever from doing a lot of, like, I guess I still do tons of music shows and stuff like that. A lot of times it fluctuates between doing something about, like, a, you know, poem on Paris Hilton or, you know, economic change or, I don't know, Bob Saget. let's see. Well, here's one, though. The fabulous form of the feminine fills us just like adrenaline, for every goddess varies. So I sing out in praise in the proper moon phase to meet her emissaries. I assert my right by the sign of light, for I too am a star, to invoke the 7 of the queen of heaven and greet her avatar. And when I'm so blessed, she shall bear forth her chest, proclaiming nakedly, come unto me, not missing the chance to raise up the lance and delve in deliciously, passionately, pouring her hymns, lavishly worshiping her luscious limbs, sending her soaring in spasm, kissing as the kundalini rises, these tantalizing tantric surprises ending, never ending, in the shrill scream of orgasm.
That's kind of cool. Go ahead.
I guess you can kind of see or whatever that maybe as compared to some other knights who might be more modest in their sensuality and sexuality, I remark him a little bit more open.
I think it's important to actually be kind of open with that. I mean, it's a human thing, and when people try to shut that down, they're actually shutting down a very important part of themselves. So I think it's pretty important.
That's the sad truth, Nancy, definitely.
Okay. Now, you also, on your MySpace page, have a thing called the Conspiracy of the Illuminati book.
Oh, yes.
Can you tell me a little bit about what the Illuminatis are, in your opinion, and what this book was about and what it means with what's happened to it?
Well, I'll address all those things, Nancy, and I'd love to clarify anything else as well. Well, I'm excited. This book project is 6 years ago. I was on an adventure, Laura Croft style, and I acquired in this library a manuscript that by the spine of the book I saw was said Weisthoff, printed in gold lettering. I was like, this is fascinating. I was like, I wonder if this is the true book, you know, one of the many books that Dr. Weisthoff wrote. Because I had heard about the Illuminati and I heard, you know, either of two things or whatever and many variations of those two things. You know, as a scholar, I had read that they were a part of a movement of change of free thinkers and philosophers and scientists and such like that, that were working during the, this, you know, all takes place in, you know, the Enlightenment era, you know, of history. And so, you know, the 1700s, with all these people talking about, you know, freedom and democracy and not necessarily just, you know, one person or one group owning everything or whatever. But anyway, history showed that, unfortunately, in certain parts of the world, that that wasn't able to happen for some time later. But anyway, and then I've heard crazy stuff by people like David Icke, who's just completely retarded, and he's got some kind of weird agenda or whatever. I mean, he cracks me up. I mean, some things, you know, I can't deny, you know, like controlling people is bad, you know. I'm not going to try to control anyone but myself. And the power resides within all of us, you know, to make, you know, good changes and stuff like that. But I think, you know, what he's doing is confusing certain multinational corporations, you know, view people as human beings, to an organization that was helping people and has helped, you know, throughout history. I mean, we enjoy the benefits of the Illuminati. Freedom of speech, equality.
Yeah, there's been a lot of different thoughts about the Illuminati's, and there is going to be a movie coming out, you know, that Tom Hanks is doing. It's called Angels and Demons, and it's supposed to be coming out, I believe, this month in March, I think.
In May,
okay. And part of your stuff, you said, from Tom Hanks' Angel and Demon is kind of based on the best-selling author Dan Brown's book.
Right. I love Tom Hanks, by the way. I think he's a great American actor. I grew up on his movies. I look forward to all his future movies.
Yeah, no, he does a really good job, and I'm actually looking forward to the Angels and Demons movie because...
Oh, yeah, the Da Vinci Code was great, too. I mean, I don't know. I mean, it's fascinating, you know, art, as the Templars or whatever, you know, we have one kind of drama ritual that, you know, makes someone a knight after jumping through the fiery hoops of already having been a master mason and a royal archmason, and going through all those of a lot of, you know, memorization work, you know, based on, I don't know, kind of the old Judeo-Christian style or whatever, but I thought, you know, as a young 21st century man that I wanted to experience, you know, those things just so I could keep it fresh for something coming even better than that.
Mm-hmm. The book that you were talking about that you sent, you know, to the Masonic Temple, the one about the Illuminati's, that's the book, right?
Okay. Yeah, so that was written by Dr. Adam Weishoff.
Okay, and you've talked about it a little bit, saying that, you know, you sent it there hoping that that would keep it nice and safe, but instead they sold it.
Oh, right, yeah. I am still in talks with them or whatever. I'm not too worried about it because, you know, even though that was a physical copy of the book, I've got a facsimile edition, which has been translated now for the first time in history. One of Dr. Weishoff's books is in English, and it's going to really show what they were all about. And I'm really excited about that. Originally, it was like a 368-page manuscript. It was kind of hard to read or whatever. It was just really long in not only the German or whatever, but French and Latin, and there's some Spanish quotes, and he quotes Shakespeare and Dryden and Brunier and Alexander Pope, the Earl of Rochester. It's extremely fascinating. And I'm glad that the Masonic Book Company decided to put that out for me.
Yeah, that is, you know, that should be very exciting. You know, in what I found funny is because you sent it to Evanston, and I live in Illinois.
Oh, sweet, yeah. In fact, that was the temple there, the Masonic temple there in Evanston that I was knighted.
Mm-hmm. That's pretty interesting. Okay.
What's that?
I said that's pretty interesting.
But be that as it may, yeah, I'm just really excited about the book. It's really going to shed the light of, you know, Dr. Weishoff. I mean, it's been said, you know, besides those other things, there's been pundits, you know, quoting the same kind of things that the Jesuits had said about the Illuminati.
Mm-hmm.
And those, you know, conspiracies or whatever. Then people have said, you know, there's aliens from, you know, like, that were aliens or something like that. And I'm like, give me a break. I mean, you know, there are, you know, thousands and thousands of galaxies. I mean, to think we're the only ones, I mean, that's kind of silly. I don't know. But I don't speak for all Templars, you know. I can't, you know, say, summarize all their things. But,
some of them are kind of different, I have to say, okay? The other thing you also have on your site is a thing that says Original Osama Bin Laden or How to End Terrorism. So can you talk a little bit about that?
Oh, sure, yeah. That was a little article that I had written originally for the Sinner magazine that's here in Seattle. They do a lot of stuff with, like, advertising shows and politics and kind of cutting-edge things. This piece was a historical ditty about an organization, another secret society that existed at one time called the Assassins. So I kind of talk about their history as far as how they existed and all that kind of stuff. I don't have all the information in front of me right now, but just kind of trace their history of what they were all about. And I guess that's where we get,
the same certain, kind of assassins that are out there now.
What's that?
I said the same kind of assassins that are out there now.
Yeah. I mean, some of them are in the same kind of hills of Pakistan that were built by the assassins themselves back in the day. It's kind of scary. But be that as it may or whatever, those people, I don't know, any kind of fanaticism or whatever, usually it snuffs itself out. Mm-hmm. Something that's not based on something pure and good or whatever seems to fizzle out.
Well, it eventually does. The other thing, you're pretty interested in a lot of different things, I also noticed on your, you know, MyFace page. You talk about how you're interested in the Tantra, you're interested in astral projection, and it talks about a lot of things that you're really interested in. What created all of that interest for you?
As a young man, I always was a voracious reader, and moving over to Italy when I was 11 years old, I got to experience so many other cultures and environments and such like that, and then it got me interested in history, and I'd always consider myself spiritual, even as a young man, and so just reading all the books from the masters, you know, from Emerson and Thoreau to, Shakespeare, and then Baudelaire, Bukowski, Burroughs, the Beats, all that kind of good stuff.
You also talk about sword fighting and martial arts.
Oh, yes. It is definitely good to practice any kind of yoga. I definitely highly recommend to folks.
Okay, I think it's very important. Now, you talk about astral projection, because you're also into that, too. Have you astral projected? Do you know?
Oh, yes. It's really interesting. I know some people try to poo-poo the idea or whatever, but be that as it may or whatever, it definitely works, and definitely it's been utilized in many forms and functions. Like any kind of knowledge or whatever, the master keys of, you know, liberation and stuff like that, I don't know. I guess maybe everything's good for everyone at a certain point, but I'm not going to give, you know, a child a gun or something like that, you know. But, have you heard of the Stargate program that was around at one time?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That one, the U.S. government was putting a lot of money in, you know. That was during the Cold War, which being a teenager during the Cold War in Europe or whatever, I was a little bit nervous sometimes or whatever. I mean, my family kept me safe and everything, and good friends and everything. But,
Now, you also have a music page, and I've listened to some of your songs on there.
I guess, do you want me, Nancy, to explain how to astral project? In one of my colleges I belong to, it's actually one of the grades you have to actually pass a test in which you're given a symbol you've never seen before, and then you're supposed to travel astrally and then go find out what that symbol means.
Okay. Well, yeah, no, we can explain it. And then I do want to talk about your music, but go ahead and
do that. Oh, sure, I'd love to talk about my music. Whatever you'd like to talk about.
No,
I guess
you know,
you're interviewing me.
a lot of people, not that they poo-poo astral projection, they just don't think that they can do it, or they don't think that it's, you know, something that a normal person can do, which all is not true.
Yeah, absolutely. You're absolutely right, Nancy. Yeah,
so
basically, if one could master sitting in a posture, any kind of posture, usually with the spine straight is recommended, you know, not necessarily laying down, but maybe Indian style or lotus style, or even in a chair. They call that the god pose or goddess, or whatever the case may be. And if you could sit in that posture without moving for 15 minutes, you know, if people could practice. I know people are like, oh, 15 minutes, psh, that's nothing. If you keep your spine straight and stay in that one posture, that yoga asana for 15 minutes, you know, that's a good thing to practice towards in order to be able to astral project. Because usually, for me at least, it takes a little bit of time. So 40 minutes is what I need to be able to sit in a yoga posture in order to do astral projection. Then one envisions themselves outside of themselves. And seeing oneself in front of oneself. And that takes quite a bit of time of practice. Usually it's recommended that students or whatever, or even probationers, take like a simple object that's not too complex or mechanical and envision it in front of themselves, like a cross or a circle or, I don't know, whatever the case may be. Yeah. But then envision yourself in front of yourself. And then the big clincher or whatever is shifting the consciousness from oneself to that other being that's in front of yourself, which is yourself. That takes a little bit of practice, too.
Do you think sometimes people just astral project on their own and they don't even know they're doing it?
Oh, I believe that's definitely possible and recorded in history as far as having occurred, that phenomena. I know some people daydream and like, you know, but the proof is in the pudding, you know, and that's why, you know, this test isn't administered right away. It's kind of in the, not, I wouldn't say in the middle of it, maybe like a third or fourth, you know, degree or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
It's not taught in masonry, I can tell you that, but I mean, that would be cool. I mean, I could kind of see the symbolism that, you know, that would be possible.
Mm-hmm. You belong to several groups, from what I understand.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mostly, what kind of groups are those?
Well, I belong to a lot of fraternities and organizations and such like that. As a Knight of Malta, I also belong to the Knights of York, which was founded by King Athelstan in honor of his son for helping unite the builder guilds and the chivalric orders and the princes and stuff like that. Let's see, what else? The Knights of Cyprus and Rhodes. There's a new, well, I guess it's not new, there's a lineage of King George from Hungary who has titles and deeds and constitutions. That's what kind of it's all about with these orders or whatever. I know there's new ones, too, or whatever, that exist. But they're all based on, like, you have the warrant and license to use the name and be this under this jurisdiction of the Constitution of the Grand Encampment and Knights Templar of the United States of America. Or, you know, even ones that date back to England and France, Scotland, and such like that.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let's go to your music, because it's kind of different, I have to say. So when you do your music, Sir Mark, what, you know, what's prompted you to do the songs that you've done so far, or the kind of music you've done so far?
Well, I guess I've been doing it for so long, I guess my style has changed somewhat, in the sense, I guess I always will do poems, but they used to be not with music, and they were just kind of really quick, fast-paced, almost like punk rock, you know, style. poems, and I would do that at music shows. I still do it at music shows, and then get the crowd all riled up and announce the bands and then talk about, you know, people buying merchandise like CDs and T-shirts and the concession stand. Mm-hmm. And the adult concession stand, which is always good. Then I started in the last few years, probably 5 or 6 years, utilizing electronic music, which I've always loved as well. Playing different cool, like, kind of beats and all that kind of good stuff, and then getting people dancing in the audience. Been working a lot with, we were talking about the economy and community and stuff like that, and talking about these variety shows that have been going on, which have been super awesome as well. It's not only just bands or whatever, it's, you know, burlesque dancers and comedians, magicians and models coming out, and everyone has a good time. I mean, it's usually at a place that has food and a menu and stuff like that as well, so people can go out and be entertained while they have a good dinner at a good price.
Mm-hmm. Are there any places that you're scheduled to do, like in the very near future, that you might want to tell the listeners about?
Well, I'll have to be back on your show in May, Nancy. But I'm doing this awesome event. This is the 7th annual one, Chaos Palooza, here in Seattle, Washington. And there's going to be 15 punk rock bands and hardcore bands playing. And that should be fantastic. I'll be emceeing the whole event. Should be fantastic this Saturday.
Okay, when you talk about hardcore bands, do you want to explain what that is, just in case somebody might want to come to see it, but they're not going to be used to something like that?
Yeah, if someone like imagined like AC/DC or Metallica, and then even faster music.
Okay, it really gets you spinning, huh?
Yeah, and then the lyrics are usually having to do with socially aware topics. So, you know, sometimes they're bratty kid songs, too. There's going to be some bratty kid songs as well played, I'm sure. But that's youth, right?
That's right. That's where they're supposed to be.
Yeah, Chaos Palooza. And then I've also just signed on for Black Miss Productions' Washington State Bikini Contest, which will be held here in Washington somewhere at an undisclosed location. Well, maybe it'll be disclosed. I heard it's open to the public this year. So,
what's that all about? A bikini contest? Do they have them on? Do they take them off? What do they do?
Oh, it's 50. I think this year they're going to probably have like 100 models out for an all-day photo shoot weekend and a runway competition where each of the gals gets in a bikini and then goes out and strips their stuff on the runway. In fact, I myself have been doing a lot of modeling myself because of announcing these kind of modeling shows, and I'm hoping to be a part of Seattle Fashion Week. I think that would be pretty fun.
Yeah, so a lot of things going on in Seattle, huh?
Oh, yeah. Seattle's got a lot of things going on. It's pretty exciting in the sense that of every kind of style of, you know, business and artists, and so much is going on in Seattle. We got a new soccer team, the Sounders.
That's pretty interesting.
Yeah, and now we can play the world game.
Now, you also, on part of your MySpace page, you talk about how you went with, Aleister Crowley, with the lineage that he has. Why did you pick that?
Well, it's interesting how these things all play themselves out. I had read a lot of books about the Illuminati or... Well, Robert Anton Wilson is the one who really, you know, got me inspired about that. You know, kind of a Tom Robbins, but a little zanier in the sense of knowledge of world events and such like that, and interesting, like, synchronicities. But
the reason why I ask is because the deck that I use when I do my counseling is the soft deck.
That is a lovely one. I guess I just didn't choose a teacher. I guess I ultimately chose. But, I was doing research and stuff like that, as I was saying, and I had, through a mutual acquaintance, someone who was a member of the OTO or whatever, well, his wife, said that I should talk to a gentleman by the name of Martin Starr. And I had come across his name as a learned man who was also a Brother Mason. And he was mentioned in all these documents as he has so much libraries and volumes of all these documents from all these lineages of Rosicrucians, most notably of Aleister Crowley, who he wrote a book about. To a certain degree, it was mostly about a student of his, but it was called The Unknown God, and really fascinating. But anyway, I found that he was a brother of the AA, the Argentum Astrum, even though he humorously said last year that he was no longer associated with it, which I thought was kind of preposterous in the sense that being in a lineage of the secret chief, I guess you're ultimately that. You can't deny he's an amazing scholar and such like that. But anyway, I petitioned and swore an oath that I would learn the natures and powers of my own being, which was a pretty simple paragraph oath to take, and I swore that I would, do that. So through yoga and exercises, the college actually has a very strict regimen and kind of actual tests that have been around since Crowley's time. But I guess Martin Starr's teacher was Phyllis Schechler, and her mentor, Jane Wolfe. And Jane Wolfe, Aleister Crowley, Madame Blavatsky. And Madame Blavatsky would be Vivekananda. Vivekananda would be definitely Patanjali. Yeah.
It's like a long time, huh?
Yeah. But reading all the manuscripts and seeing that when you do yoga and practice, amazing things happen in your life.
Mm-hmm. How does Tantra help your life?
Well, it definitely helps my love life, Nancy.
Uh-huh. So let's explain it to the listeners, how the Tantra actually helps anybody's love life once they take the classes.
Oh, absolutely, because Tantra is love and seeing the unity of all existence. Loving one another and loving oneself. Oh, that is so amazing. That is the bee's knees, as it were. It's everything. I love all my friends, and I love doing shows, and I love being a part of things bigger than myself, learning and growing and stuff like that. Tantra.
Tantra actually is a very good way for men, actually, to stay at their bliss without actually having a total orgasm for hours and hours, days and weeks, even if they want. Is that untrue?
Oh, word, Nancy. You speak the truth.
I try.
The kind of equal opposite balancing out of the two that become one, or the two that are actually a part of the great cosmic egg. Those two together, balancing them out. And when one has a lover, as you're saying, Nancy, absolutely, being united with that person and seeing God or the goddess or that ultimate being in them, because they're a reflection of you, and that energy and bliss or whatever is so amazing and transcendental and free souls. I love it.
The Tantra part that I don't think people understand is that they think all Tantra really is to just have sex and be released and, have group sex and have a gay old time. And that's truly not the practice of Tantra. I mean, it's sex is, but that's not what it really is all about. I mean, it could be, but that's not the main teaching of it.
Oh, true that. I mean, I guess it's any kind of a regimen, but I guess seeing the oneness of all is, I guess, the prime idea. It is silly. I guess I had joked and started off with that, Nancy. But, really, that is a powerful yoga of holding that in. I mean, women more so, I think, need to have more. But men, know, it's a good yoga holding it in.
For men especially, because, you know, men reach their heights very quickly and a woman does not. And so if the man can hold it in and, you know, they can reach it together, it's a much better bliss to be in than if...
Oh, totally. Even more amazing. Like, men don't even... I guess a lot of men don't realize or whatever that, oh, instead of just, like, boom, right there or whatever, it's like holding in, the experience is even more amazing. It's like orgasm to the 10th degree of one that's been held in, like, even more so. But I don't know.
Now, you also do readings.
Absolutely.
Is that true? Okay. What kind of readings do you do?
Well, Nancy, I too use the Crowley Harris Thoth Tarot deck. And I've worked for private clients. I've done some stuff with Microsoft. But, yeah, I love doing intuitive readings. Sometimes, I guess with the right pay or whatever, I could do psychic work or whatever. It just takes a lot out of it. I don't necessarily like, you know, doing all that, but I don't know. Yeah, I give people readings. I haven't checked in myself. I need to give myself a thorough reading.
A lot of people can't really read themselves. I mean, I can because I'm a very balanced person. But my original deck was the Thoth deck. The second deck I have is a Thoth deck. But the very first deck I have, I used for 25 years before I stopped using it.
Oh, nice. Which one was that? Was it the Rider Waite one?
Nope, it was the Crowley Thoth deck. And the only reason why I stopped reading with it is because almost all of my pictures are missing. And it's not that I need the pictures. I only need to see, you know, just certain colors, and I could still, you know everything that was going on. But I had noticed that the clients were not hearing what I was saying because they were staring at the card trying to figure out how in the world could I come up with this kind of information when there's not a picture there.
It is fascinating.
So then I got another deck, and it's, you know, it's the same deck, and it's already getting very worn, and I've only been using it for probably about 7 years. You know, so I use them a lot. When you started to do the music, let's talk a little bit about that. I mean, did you start it as a young, you know, at a young age? Did you start it teenage years? When did you really start doing the music?
Well, I think it was when I first moved to, when I first moved to America, it was my senior year of high school. That was kind of a bummer, you know, coming from Europe to a small town in the Midwest or whatever, where I had to, you know, meet everyone anew. I mean, there was cool people and stuff like that, and it was a little bit bigger of a city, but moved there and started right when I graduated high school, started going to St. Louis to see shows. In fact, I think I was a senior in high school, and I started going to music concerts in the big city and go to St. Louis and drive around and go to, like, Mississippi Nights and see cool ska bands or heavy metal. I saw Danzig there, Cypress Hill, House of Pain, all these cool bands that I liked. I was like, you know, I could do this, you know, too, you know, do my poetry on stage. And there was a little Italian shop called Mangi Italiano, and all the cool artists and such like that hung out there. They had cool artwork everywhere, and their menu was very Euro chic. It was coffee house before coffee house, and they had an open mic there called Word Anarchy. And so I started going there and saw people on stage, and people were like, oh, you should get up here and do your stuff on the stage. And I was like, all right. So I got up there and a little nervous, like clenching my paper, like my hands were shaking, and I did it. I was like, yeah. And felt good. I got a good response. People were respectful for my virgin self on the stage. And I knew a lot of guys that were in bands and stuff like that who were starting to play shows in clubs. And so, hey, I love doing stuff. And they're like, oh, you should get up here, Mark, before I was a knight. They're like, hey, Mark Brubeck, get up here and do a poem. I'm like, oh, all right. And so I felt cool, you know. I always had fun. And music really inspires me. I'm always jogging and doing yoga, listening to music. But I think that was around 92, 93. And then from there, I just got at bigger shows and started meeting other folks who could get me on bigger shows. I've done so many shows with like bands like Fugazi and Modest Mouse and Annie DeFranco, tons of punk rock bands, MDC, Agent Orange, No Use for a Name, all these bands.
On your friends list that you have, I noticed that you have James Bond, Daniel Craig on there.
Yeah, he's super nice. I was really super thankful. I haven't met him in person, but when he had a little bit of downtime after shooting Munich or whatever, found him on MySpace, and we started talking a little bit back and forth, and I'd written a few poems in the past or whatever, and had posted it on his MySpace page as a comment, and he wrote back and he was like, "Hey, you know, thank you very much. I really appreciate that." And he's like, "This is the only kind of like, you know, this." I don't know. He was like, "I don't even have an email address." I was like, "What?"
If somebody wanted to get your books, how would they go about doing that?
Oh, they could go on Amazon.com. It's a book called Poems to Babylon that people can buy. My record, which I'd much rather promote or whatever, in the sense of Poems to Babylon was a very interesting project. called Still Fighting the Forces of Darkness. And it's a 19-track CD that they can get on CD Baby or go on to iTunes and look up Sir Mark the Poet and comes up. 19 poems. I was really excited. It's got some of those electronic songs on there, some a cappella style studio stuff, some live material with sound effects and movie score. This band, a local band here, Climax Golden Twins, created. I was really honored to work with them as well. And they do a lot of movie scores and such. Thanks,
also,
Rob. Thanks, Jeff.
on your MySpace page, you have a picture of yourself and two women.
Oh,
And you have a lot of tattoos.
There's a few of those.
Do those tattoos have a special meaning that you have?
Oh, yeah, each one and different parts of my history and such. You know, I'm proud of them.
The main one that shows right on your, like, your stomach and your chest, what's the meaning of that one?
Oh, yeah. I did it as, like, kind of a combination of Mother Mary and Kali. So it's this tattoo of her sitting on a lotus of love, and she has all the different implements of her office in her office. I like that one. She's all blue. I need to get more work done. That was the only tattoo I ever got that hurt. That hurt like hell.
I bet it did.
It's all filled in and everything like that. I mean, it could have been worse. It could have been a Tasmanian devil on my ankle or something like that.
Could have, I guess. Now, on your MySpace, let's give out, again, your website and how they can get to your MySpace page.
Oh, thank you, Nancy. Yes, if people go to myspace.com/ Sir Mark the Poet or Sir Mark Knight of Love, either of those will bring up above my pages, as well as SirMarkThePoet.com.
Okay. Because you have a lot of different kinds of pictures on there, obviously. Some of them are pretty provocative. People would probably like to see that.
Oh,
but you have
you.
Some kind of cool things on there, too. You know, so that's why I keep, asking you about certain things. You have one on here on your MySpace page where you have this hooded coat jacket thing on with, like, a sword in your hand.
Oh, uh-huh. That was a fun photo shoot.
Is there a meaning for that, too?
Oh, yeah, that was a fantastic photo shoot. Lydia Guglia took all those shots. I'm wearing some purple ski pants and a black fly jacket that I always wear with purple fur around the hood and everything. And I was sporting one of my Templar swords. That one my dad got me for Christmas. thought that was pretty rad. Kind of a different style blade than my other Templar sword, which is regulation style. But yeah, that was a fun photo shoot. So I'm just kind of looking, you know, like I'm ready for adventure in my flint.
Yeah, it looked like you're ready just to jump right out there and go do something.
Nice. Yeah, it's usually something real good being a part of all these music shows, and I don't really run into too many people these days that are up to no good.
Yeah, a lot of people are up to no good.
And now, usually somewhere out here, someone in the audience, you know, someone in the background, they're like, hey, Sir Mark's here, you can't get away with that. And then,
you also talk on your MySpace page a little bit about your sister and your brother.
Oh, yeah. Love them. Really proud of them, too. My blood brother, Matt, he's 4 years younger than me, but he spent 7 years doing professional baseball and played with the Cubs for quite a number of years, and then I think, trying to remember, I believe it's the Baltimore Orioles was the last team he was with, but he had worked on this project called the Balance Pro Sport Belt, in which was recommended and still recommended by the two top kinesiologists in the world, and it's a sensory device that goes around the waist, and it helps with your mechanics if you're a golfer or a pitcher, a baseball player, or yoga, or anything. It really can be used across the board. Apparently, some woman in Florida put it on her autistic kid, and it seemed to bring the child into its body and, like, balance them out. And there was some, and they brought it to my brother Matt Brubeck's attention. And so he did some scientific studies and stuff like that, and then worked with all these, and still works with all these clinics and stuff like that. And I'm like, wow, this does work. It's the miracle belt. And that's what he called it, the miracle belt. It helps kids with autism and ADD and all these other sensory issues that this miracle belt cures.
You'll have to have your brother call me because I have a 501c3 called A Child's Miracle Mind. And it's designed to help the children that have been labeled with ADD, ADHD, find alternatives to the prescription drugs that they hand out like candy.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah, my brother received a little bit of, you know, brick walls by some of these doctors who, of course, it works, but does that mean I'm going to stop getting 10 grand a year, 40 grand a year from these chemical companies for just having someone take that?
Yeah, I have a real problem with the prescription drugs without parents checking into alternatives. So I've actually aggravated a lot of people by saying that because I'm a very firm believer that these children really should not be on these drugs unless, you know, they've tried everything else first and nothing else works. Then it, you know, if you got to, you got to. But they need to try a lot of other things. So
absolutely, Nancy. It's so true. And you know, all these there's so many alternatives that, you know, really help save lives. It's amazing.
Mm-hmm. The other part of it is I'm going to be moving down to New Mexico to open up what's called the School of Now, which is a different kind of school. I mean, they'll learn their ABCs and 1-2-3s. However, they also will learn all the spiritual and metaphysical things that they need in order to survive.
Well, that sounds cool, like a Waldorf school or a Montessori. But
actually, more than that, it turns out to be a lot more than either one of them can offer. I don't have it built yet, so I've got to move down to New Mexico to raise money and build it.
Well, it sounds fantastic. If you're ever doing any events raising money, I'd love to come down there and support the cause.
Yeah, no, you'll hear from me. I think some of the things that I saw on your MySpace page and some of the things that you got going on inside you would probably work out pretty well. You also talked about your sister, so, you know, I want to mention that, too, because she's an artist.
Absolutely. Super talented. Her name's Michelle, and she's been working with Ringling Brothers for quite a number of years. And I'm so proud of her. She's really amazing, a graphic artist and a visual, conceptual style person. Being a Pisces, I think, helps with that. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, she was a princess. Took her to be 28 before she even moved out of my parents' house.
Sometimes that's what it takes, you know?
Yeah.
And, sometimes
she's been working and going to school for so long. I'm so proud of her.
Good.
I love her.
Is there any message that you would like to give the listeners before we have to basically go off air? I mean, something you'd like them to maybe take a look at or understand. Do you have anything to say?
Yeah, I'd like to say thank you, Nancy, for having me on your program. The new book, whatever, of the Illuminati Diogenes Lamp will be available for folks here coming up very soon. It's going to be a part of all these other bigger projects to show people the truth on, you know, who the Illuminati actually were. Heck, you know, maybe there'll be an Illuminati revival.
You never know. Now, when is that book supposed to come out?
Well, the Masonic Book Company has just put it out as their book for 2008. So just one copy per member of the book club receives one. There are some copies floating around here and there that are going for about $100 a pop.
But, yeah, but really, to get them other than $100 a pop, you have to be a member, I take it.
Yeah, if someone is listening who has access to a publisher, you could talk to my agent, Jennifer Joyce, who's in New York right now trying to find an interested party.
Okay, that sounds pretty interesting.
And also, ooh, thank you, Nancy, pardon me. Also, Secret and Suppressed 2, a new book by Firo House. It contains also the last known writings of Robert Anton Wilson. And very profound. And there's a little blurb from the book, like 4 or 5 pages, actually, of the Lamp of Diogenes, as well as a little piece I did, a little bio thing on Dr. Weisshoff.
That's kind of neat. Now, again, give out your MySpace page because you do have a thing there where they can subscribe to your blog. So why don't you give that out again along with your website?
Absolutely. MySpace.com/SirMarkThePoet or MySpace.com/SirMarkBrubach, B-R-U-B-A-C-K. Either just put in Sir Mark Knight of Love in Google, I should come up first.
And then your website.
Yeah, and SirMarkThePoet.com.
Okay. And if people wanted to get a hold of you, is it best that they go to your MySpace, or is there an email address you might want to give out?
Yeah, either one. I guess they'd have to have a MySpace thing to leave me a message there, but they can leave me a message at shows@SirMarkThePoet.com.
Okay. And in Seattle, when is the next gig that you're going to do? Because you mentioned it quickly, but let's give it out again.
Yes, this Saturday in Seattle is the 7th annual Chaosapalooza, starring NBC and the Blood Clots. I'm very excited to be a part of that show. 15 bands, all day of fest. Starts at 2 p.m., and that's going to be at Studio 7.
Okay, and then the bikini thing is when?
There's only a tentative date of July. It's going to be July in the Seattle, Washington area.
Okay, are you going to post that on your MySpace page so people
Absolutely.
Can actually look? Okay, because that way it will help people to find you a little bit better. So, Mark, it's been great talking with you.
It's been great talking with you, too.
Being on the show, and I was serious about having your brother contact me. I would like to talk with him about, you know, his miracle belt. I think something I'd like
Absolutely.
To look into.
Okay? I think he has themiraclebelt.com.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll forward you his information. He's a great guy, and I think what you're doing, too, that could really work together.
I think it would work very well together, and so that's, you know, why I said just, you know, let him know that he needs to get a hold of me or send me out his info and let him know that I'm going to be getting a hold of him. One way or the other will work.
Sounds good. Okay. Yeah, but you have to pardon me. I haven't done an interview since, I guess yesterday I did one, but I haven't done one in which... It was so long. Like, I'm used to, like, daytime radio or whatever, which I'm glad internet, it opens it up and makes more space and more availability for people to check out cool things.
Yeah, it is kind of important because people do get to talk a little bit more about what they think, what they feel, and they're not really censored. And, you know, that's important because I think we're censored way too much.
Sweet. Well, thanks again, Nancy. I appreciate it.
You're very welcome. Thanks for taking the time. Sir Mark the Poet, you know, take care. And thanks for being on the show.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. And I'd like to thank you, the listeners. May God bless all of you. I hope you have a great week. And take care and check out a lot of interesting things every day. Make your mind grow. Take care, and we'll talk to you next week. Bye now.